Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, being the Tuesday of the 26th week in ordinary time, how often have I spoken that word and even shared it with you? Ordinary time. Anything to do with God is never ordinary. It's simply separating between the ordinary daily celebration of the liturgy and the extraordinary one on the great, great feast. But in another sense, the word is correctly used, ordinary time, but the way we think of ordinary, nothing's ever ordinary when it deals with God. Nothing. Wherever God is in the picture is extraordinary. So even on days when you think, oh, it's just the same old humdrum day, and I'm doing the same thing that I did yesterday, and I'm going to be doing it tomorrow. It's just same old, same old. In God, in Christ, everything is new. Every day in Him, and the closer we draw near to Him, the more we begin to realize it, everything is new. God is. He is eternally new. And when you apply that to yourself, every day is a new day to begin again. The mistakes of yesterday, if they're repented for, you can begin again. Christ doesn't say to you, oh, you've had too many opportunities and you failed them all, so tough luck, but it's all done for you. God never, ever says that. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. It's always new. New in the sense, as I've often said to you in the program, when we talk about new, we often think of a new model or a new version, or I haven't had a new dress in a long time. We use it often in that sense. But when Scripture uses the word new, it means never having been seen before. And Scripture tells us that in Christ, everything is new. All is new. And so as you move more and more deeply into a relationship with Him, many things will change in your life. And you will see this aspect or that aspect and say, I never thought I could do this, or I never thought I could get free of that. Or I never thought it could change. With Him, all is new. That's why we can have such hope, because God gives it to us. He makes it possible for us to have our hopes fulfilled. Put all your trust in Him. Ask Him what His hope is for you. What does He want of you? Pray for it. Watch what He does. The opening prayer for today's Mass is this: O God, who manifest your almighty power above all by pardoning and showing mercy, bestow, we pray, your grace abundantly upon us and make those hastening to attain your promises heirs to the treasures of heaven. Lord, help us that we might be an heir to the treasures of heaven. I am an heir by baptism. I am. But am I living out of that reality? First reading today is taken from the book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 8, verses 20 to 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, there shall yet come peoples, the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall approach those of another and say, come, let us go to implore the favor of the Lord, and I too will go to seek the Lord. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to implore the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men of every nationality speaking different tongues shall take hold, yes, take hold of every Jew by the edge of his garment and say, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. How many times have I said to you, brothers and sisters, how many times the people you meet on the street every day in whatever your work is or whatever is occupying your time or your attention, there are so many people out there who need God, and they need God so badly they don't even know how to ask. They don't even have an expectation that prayer that can't even be spoken. There's a longing in them. Why do you think people turn to drugs so much? And alcohol. Why do you think people try to deaden themselves in one sense, to satisfy the longing and the craving in them? And they try in every way human to satisfy it, but it can't be satisfied because at the root of it is God's desire for union with each one of us. And we turn to all other kinds of things because, well, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to be tied up in a whole bunch of rules or regulations. If the Christian life is really being led right and lived right, you're going to be set free, because all of that is intended to bring you into union with God. That's the deepest thirst and the deepest hunger of your heart. It is. And people don't turn to God. And that's why I'm saying, when you're on the streets, pray for people that you see. Many people walking by you are despairing. Many people walking by you are lonely and lost. Pray for them. Pray for them. And in some cases, you may be able to strike up a conversation naturally. But if you're not living in the reality that God saved you and God blessed you and God has gifted you and God cares for you every moment of every day, if you don't realize that, you're not going to reach out to another. But that's what God wants of all of us, each of us. God is with us. God is with us, says Psalm 87. God is with us. Do you believe that? He's closer than your very breath. Put your finger up even right now and just touch the skin on your face. He's closer to you than that. He's right here with us and loves us. And he wants to draw us into union with him. And in that process, you can bring many others with you. Don't let people die because no one spoke to them. Don't let people die never having known God because someone didn't have the courage or the great love for God to reach out to another. Don't say, I don't have those gifts. I don't have those talents. You're a human being and you can speak. Do you love God with all your heart? Then God will give you the words to say. His foundation upon the holy mountains, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than any dwelling of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. O city of God, God is with us. And the gospel from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 56. When the days for Jesus to be taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. He resolutely determined. He knew what awaited him. He knew what awaited him. But he resolutely determined. Why did he? For our sake, for our salvation. Can we not participate with Christ? It is Christ's power. It is his wisdom, but he can use us. If we say, Lord, help me to save one person today. And I may be part five of 50 pieces of that person's salvation. I might be part five, and I might not know till heaven that I was part five that made a difference in that person's life. But play your part. Whatever it is, play the part God gives you. Sometimes you see the glorious fruit, and sometimes you're one of those places just on the road of this person coming to know Christ, of this person's salvation. You're one piece in it. In heaven, you'll know the fulfillment of all that. But every once in a while, God lets us see, even here on earth, the Lord is right with you. Just be kind. Be generous. Be helpful. Be charitable. And God will use you. He resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. And on the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. It's a great, great separation, just like we have today. Much separation among people. Don't live out of those human designs and decisions. Know what God wants. Know how God wants you to reach out to another. If God asks you, do it. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them? Isn't that what happens to us? They so love Jesus, and he's being dishonored. And they so love him, they just want to fight for him. But see, Jesus looks beyond that. Jesus looks beyond the divisions and the separations and the human categories that we've established that separate people from one another. And Jesus knows all that. And Jesus turned and rebuked them. Do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them? They're furious. And Jesus turns and rebukes them. And they just journey to another village. Jesus knows that he will find someone who will receive him on the journey. And even though he's rejected at one door, he doesn't put a curse on them. He just moves on. It's the disciples who want to put the curse. But you see, Jesus, here he was knowing what awaited him. And here he is seeing people reject him and ignore him right along the journey to Jerusalem. My goodness, if I were in God's shoes, so to speak, I couldn't have taken what he took. The refusal, the rejection, the betrayal, the lying, day in and day out. He's pouring himself out. And what is he receiving in return? Rejection. So, brothers and sisters, we who are disciples of Jesus Christ, we're going to experience rejection. Just keep saying, Lord, lead me. Show me what you want me to do each day. Each day. And God will use you for the glory of the Father. Let's pray for one another. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.